It is 8:08 right now here in the Twin Cities. Thank you so much for sticking and staying with us. You're listening to Steel Talkin', and our guest this half hour is Dr. Luigi Romolo. He's a Minnesota State climatologist, and he's joining us now because we're now into this meteorological winter. And while cold and snow are usually part of the equation, how much we get isn't always a given. Welcome, Dr. Luigi Romolo. Thank you so much for joining us tonight.
Oh, my pleasure. Thank you.
So a meteorological winter, what is that?
Yeah, so a lot of people, when they think about winter, they think about the time from the solstice to the equinox. So basically from December 21st to March 21st. But we know that here in Minnesota, winter typically starts well before that winter solstice. So climatological winter, particularly here in Minnesota, includes the months of December, January, and February.
Okay. So the big question for Minnesotans is that we want to know what's going to happen in the next 2 or 3 months, right? When it comes to winter.
Sure.
And then going, what is going to happen? What do you expect?
Yeah. So it's really difficult to forecast that far in advance. We rely on the knowledge that we get from very sophisticated climate models that try to predict seasonal forecasts like that. And so one that we typically like to rely on is the seasonal outlooks that are put out by the Climate Prediction Center. And they're currently forecasting a slightly cooler than normal winter, December, January, February, and a slightly above normal snowfall winter. So, you know, slightly above normal precipitation. So colder than normal and snowier than normal, which is typically what we would expect in a La Nina winter. And that's kind of what we're under the influence of right now. But I'm going to say there's a very weak correlation between ENSO events and winter here in Minnesota. But, you know, slightly higher than normal on these types of events, we do tend to see a slightly cooler and a slightly snowier than normal winter. So that's kind of what we're expecting.
We kind of expect that for sure. But here's my concern is that no matter how we keep hearing what is happening with the weather in the future, right, we can look forward even a whole month from now and assume,
sure,
or at least, you know, try to figure out exactly what's going to happen. And it doesn't always happen that way. So, you know, it used to be a time when I was growing up, you can, you know, go outside, put your finger up, you know, lick it, and all of a sudden, you know, if it's going to rain. Well, that's not the way it happens today. Of course, there's all of this technology. And I'm just wondering, are you satisfied with the technology that we have today, considering how climate is changing?
Yeah, I think we're doing a much better job forecasting the weather, you know, the day-to-day meteorological change in, you know, temperature and precipitation. Seasonal forecasts, we're just not there yet. I'm going to be honest, it's a real difficult thing to do. And I know that our forecasters out there that work for NOAA and other scientists in the atmospheric science field are doing their best. And, you know, we are slowly getting better at this, but it's really difficult because it really kind of depends on what's going on with the cold front and the circumpolar vortex, and it's so hard to predict that more than, you know, a week or so in advance.
You know, I am so grateful that you said that. That is the truth. And as I look forward and I keep reading about what's happening around the country, I know central part of the country is, you know, there all sorts of things are happening. And one minute we hear one thing from one meteorologist or a climatologist, and then we hear something else. Why is it that it's ever changing?
Particularly really
between people like you and others like you, you know, I hear from you one thing and I could hear from another climatologist something almost completely different.
Yeah, I really don't know the answer to that question. I just try to, you know, be honest and fair about what I believe is the truth. And you know, I'm going to go on record and say we are not good at seasonal forecasts. The reason we have them is because people want answers to these kinds of questions. And Although the answers are out there, you can't always rely on them. You kind of have to take them with a grain of salt. And the forecasters who produce these, they know that. They know that these aren't perfect. But, you know, the way to get better at this is to try to improve each month and try to get better at it. And if we're not making an effort, we're not going to get better at it.
Have we ever been perfect at it?
No. No, we haven't even been perfect at forecasting the day-to-day weather. So, you know, to say that we've been perfect at the seasonal forecast would be false.
Now, your professional interests, I should say, center around data management, climate service, drought planning and monitoring. Let's talk about drought for a moment, because I remember at the beginning of 2022, we heard from meteorologists and they were saying we might have a little slight bit of drought, but it shouldn't be too much. And I know that it's very difficult to be spot on when it comes to meteorology or climatology. So I'm just curious to know, is it true? I mean, wasn't it worse than we thought it would be?
Honestly, if you had asked me around this time last year, if you remember, we were just kind of getting out of the 2021 drought and things were kind of improving. And we were thinking, wow, you know, if we have a really good snowfall this winter and a lot of good rainfall in the spring, then, you know, things could start to look up. But and that certainly was the case. But for some reason, we've just been really dry since May. And yeah, I would say that it's a lot worse than I would have expected it to be. You know, we've only had one above normal precipitation month here in the metro since last May. And that was
amazing.
Last month in November. And, you know, so a lot of, you know, the southern Minnesota is anywhere from 6 to 10 inches below normal since then. And so, drought is, you know, back at the forefront. It's a serious issue.
It's very serious. And of course, we are looking at the Mississippi River, which so many states rely on, including Minnesota.
Right.
And it is remarkable. Mm-hmm. What is it, 2 miles now you can walk out to be at the edge of the Mississippi? Is something like that? Do you know how far it is people can walk out now on the Mississippi?
I do not know the answer to that question. I know that they're seeing very low levels downstream, and you know that's typically what you expect in what we call hydrological drought, where you might not necessarily be experiencing meteorological drought at your location, but because it's so dry upstream, it's not replenishing the river to bring that water downstream. So we are seeing the Mississippi River lower than normal downstream from us because of how dry it's been here.
So what can we expect over the next few months when it comes to climatology and meteorology?
Yeah, well, again, you know, relying on those forecasts from the Climate Prediction Center, I think I was going to say at worst, but it depends on your perspective. So, you know, I think at the very least, we're going to have an average winter with respect to precipitation. And so the CPC, the Climate Prediction Center, is predicting wetter than normal December through February. So, you know, I think at worst, we'll you know, end up at about a normal winter for terms of snowfall. The key for getting out of this drought, however, is that we maintain the snowfall through the winter. And we've had winters here where we've melted the snow, you know, in January, and then we build it up again, melt it. Retaining the snow over the winter is key because it helps replenish the soil come springtime. And so if, you know, that snowfall is melting and running off, then, you know, it's going to dampen the effect of that above normal winter come springtime.
Well, we've already had so many shocking, shocking news coming from the South. I believe it was Alabama this week where they were being threatened with like 20 tornadoes or something like that. Do I have that completely wrong? But I know there was a southern state that was really about to get hit with some tornadoes, and I think it was 2 days ago, but I haven't heard anything from it. Yet we are really hearing so much more about tornadoes in the South. And so I'm just curious to know, if it's in the South, will somehow that water get to the states that really need it, like Minnesota?
Yeah, I'm not really sure I understand what you're asking me here with that question with the tornadoes.
So what I'm asking is that the southern states seem to have been really hit this year when it comes to water. Do I have that correct?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
And as these tornadoes travel into the center of the country, all the way up to the northern states like Minnesota, I'm just curious to know how we can benefit from that. Do we have new technology where one state can have flooding? And this is a question I've asked my family, and none of us are meteorologists, so I don't know why I keep asking my brothers. But, you know, where we don't have a way to take a state like Georgia, who may have floods, severe floods, and we can't take that water and make sure it gets to other states that have drought. I'm just wondering, is there any technology that you are hearing about where that's a possibility?
Yeah, no, we typically rely on the nature of hydrology. So, you know, water falls in a particular catchment and then it collects into rivers and streams and that flows, you know, basically downstream into larger rivers. And, you know, for us, that includes the Mississippi River. So, you know, flooding here will certainly help those areas downstream where it's typically right now lower than normal. There's really not a lot of infrastructure set up to transfer, you know, large amounts of water from one state to another, if that's what you're asking.
Okay. Yeah, I've been really wondering about that, if it's even a possibility, because we've had so many severe droughts and severe flooding in, you know, opposite ends of the country. So I'm always thinking like that, sir. Forgive me. So if people are wondering, what is it going to look like for spring, what would you tell us?
I would say that there's a pretty high probability right now that we could be facing some drought in the spring simply because of the situation we're in right now. It's going to depend on how much snow we get over the next 3 months, whether we retain that snow, and then how much rainfall we get as the snow's melting and we move into, you know, our liquid precipitation season again. So, you know, last year we had a little bit of lingering drought in the north, but because of the heavier than normal snowfall and the rains in the spring, we kind of eradicated all of the drought conditions. I would say that because of what's going on right now, there's a pretty high probability that we could see drought in the spring. Drought conditions do not change much here in Minnesota over the winter, typically because we get into this winter lockup, what we call lockup. We were talking about, you know, the frozen state of water, lakes freeze, rivers freeze over. It's difficult for us to assess how big of an impact the snowfall is going to have because it's just sitting on top of the ground all winter. We don't really know how it's going to affect soil moisture. We know it will increase soil moisture, but we don't know if it'll increase soil moisture enough to eradicate drought. This certainly would improve it, but the more snow we get, obviously the better our chances are to avoid that.
All right, sir, this is my final question. The farmers, of course, were very concerned with this past season, and I'm just curious to know if you think it's going to be much better this year, this coming year, 2020.
Yeah, I really don't know. That's the million-dollar question. We simply do not know the answer to that question. You know, so and using this year as an example, you know, we were coming out of the 2021 drought in the early part of the spring. We actually had some severe flooding events up north. It was way wetter than normal, and then all of a sudden, boom, it just stopped raining. And all of a sudden, you know, moderate drought started creeping in around the metro, kind of expanded throughout much of southern Minnesota. We started seeing severe drought, and now we're seeing some extreme drought. So we have a lot of precipitation to make up for, you know, eight to 10 inches here in the south. So, you know, we're really hoping that we get a healthy snowpack this winter. And then we can perhaps better answer that question come spring.
Absolutely, sir. I sure look forward to hoping that you would join me again to talk about this, because as we go into January, February, and March, those are going to be the months when people are going to start asking some really big questions, and you are a great guy to answer some of those. So thank you so much for joining me tonight. I really appreciate it, sir.
Oh, my pleasure.
All right. You have a good evening.
You too. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Dr. Luigi Romolo, and he's with the Minnesota State Climatologist. He is a climatologist at the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources in Minneapolis. And, of course, we're just trying to look forward and see how we can prepare as well. You remember how they were asking people not to mow lawns this summer and, you know, wait for a while and make sure the bees and all of those insects that really get into those flowers and give us a chance to keep living. These are the changes that we're going to watch and see. And of course, the weather has a whole lot to do with all of it. So stay tuned for that. All right. He joined us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline, and we are grateful. We'll see you in just a moment. We are with our next guest. We'll be back. It's 8:27 here at WCCO. Welcome back to Steel Talking. I'm your host, Geraldine Steele. And I came across an article from earth.org, and it's asked the question, what states for climate change is really the worst? The pollution, especially the water pollution, and so much more. But thank goodness Minnesota is not on the list. I will tell you who's on the list. Delaware, 97% has them at doing the most damage. New Jersey, 95%. Hawaii, 91%. California, 87%. Louisiana, 86%. Oregon, 86%. Iowa, 84%. South Carolina, 81%. Kansas, the state of Kansas, 79%. And South Dakota, 78%. Now, water pollution can also harm our health by entering our tap water system. A report published in 2022 July showed that 371 of California's water systems, which supply water to more than 920,000 people, mostly located in Central Valley, had unsafe levels of contamination, including arsenic and nitrate. Now, of course, Jonathan, you are a trained meteorologist. I'm just curious to know what you thought about the interview tonight. What did you learn?
Well, unfortunately, I was going back and forth a little bit, but I think what Dr. Romolo was saying is very true regarding just the forecasting aspect of it. We're still trying to, as an industry, and I say we, you know, not having been a meteorologist in 15 years,
right?
Almost, but the industry is continuing to try to improve the forecasting purposes and the forecasting length of trying to forecast more accurately out past a week's time. And until we can get that technology, until we can figure that out, it's going to be difficult to really pinpoint how much weather is going to affect us over a period of 3 to 4 to 5 to 6 months. So it's something that we're growing. Hopefully it will continue to grow and continue to get better. But at this time, that's why there's a difference between climatologists and meteorologists. Meteorologists look more at what we call the macro. I'm sorry, the micro, the day-to-day, the time period to time period. Climatologists look more at the macro and look over those seasons. And that's why I thought it was important to have him on to get a better sense of what are we expecting over the next 3 months. And especially with the fact that we have drought in the state, across southern portions of the state at this time.
Well, it's remarkable. I got to tell you, it's so remarkable, the changes. And we'll just stay tuned and keep trying to bring meteorologists and climatologists on to tell us more. Thank you so much, Jonathan. We're going to take a break and we'll be back. It is now 8:36 here at WCCO. Welcome back. And of course, we have another guest. I'm so excited to introduce you to Jill Renslow, Senior VP of Business Development and Marketing at the Mall of America. Welcome, Jill. How are you?
I'm doing great. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays, and thank you so much for being on with us tonight. Are you still looking for even more ideas for people that are still shopping, or is that all done now?
Oh, no. This is the end stretch where everybody's looking for those last-minute gift ideas and starting to stress a little bit about the shipping deadline. So this is the best time to go shop brick and mortar and also just take in the sights and sounds of the holidays. I love to hear from people that just love to go to the mall for their tradition of holiday shopping, but not only that, just the music, the decor, and just really taking it all in of the festive time of year.
I am one of those, right? I love to take my grandchildren to the Mall of America during the Christmas season. It's so beautifully decorated, and the people are happy. I don't hear a lot of people bumping into each other and cursing out each other. So I have to tell you, it's a tradition for us now to go. And my son and his partner are coming in town for Christmas this year, and I'm so excited that we're all going to go out to the Mall of America. Tell me, what is the dust, you know, that really seems to fall on people when it comes to the Mall of America? There's just something really special about it.
There is. And like you said, just traditions. And I would love to hear some of the things that you guys love to do and what your traditions are. But, you know, it's everything from visiting Santa to strolling around. And there's so many photo ops this time of year with the beautiful strands of light, the trees and the rotunda, the 7-foot nutcrackers. Like, it's just, it's magical. And people have their traditions year after year. And you even hear from locals that love to just stay in the hotels and be able to stay overnight and do their holiday shopping, grab something to eat, even grab a movie. And it becomes a tradition of this just, you know, escape to really take in the magic of the season.
You know, I've taken my children and my grandchildren now to the Mall of America during the Christmas season. And it really, I remember when New Year's Eve would hit and there was a big event for children and, you know, it would be over by 8 o'clock or something like that. Are you guys considering that for this year?
We are. Yes, it's the Moonlight Circus. We've had the circus theme for the last few years, and it's a combination of entertainment in the rotunda as well as the ball drop that's inside Nickelodeon Universe. So it's very family friendly. We have so many families that come year after year. A very affordable and safe option for families to enjoy, especially when it's cold outside, to be able to be somewhere inside where it's warm and safe, and having so many close hotels, it's a great overnight option as well.
Now, you talked a little bit about Santa. You mentioned that, and I'm just curious to know, how many Santas do you have this year?
Hopefully there's not little ones listening this evening, but, you know, Santa has a lot of helpers, lots of helpers out there. So we have several Santas to be able to accommodate all the families that come in. And so not only can you do the Santa by appointment, or we actually have very diverse Santas, which we absolutely love, so that little ones can really see a Santa that reflects who they are and,
bravo,
and their family.
So, bravo!
Yeah, it's great. We've had an African-American Santa for years. We added an Asian Santa this year. And it's just been great, and families are very positively receptive to it. But we also have the Candy Cane Institute, which is our kind of reinvention of what the Santa experience is all about. And it just kind of came forward right before COVID, and then when COVID hit, we had to shift gears a little bit. But this is the first year we've had it in full force, and it's actually an elf-run, Santa-approved holiday research lab. So you get a chance to really dive into the meaning of Christmas and just the holiday season. And you get a chance to have this really interactive, fun tour led by MOA elves and then Santa himself. So it's more interactive. It's not like you have to stand in line and just wait to sit on Santa's lap, but it really is immersive and it's fun for the whole family.
It is fun for the whole family. There's so much more to even do when you're visiting each of the floors. There's something a little more magical the higher you go up. At least that's what I found. And I'm really just amazed at how many children can't wait to get to the Mall America, and that includes my grands. So as they walk into the store, they get so excited. It used to be a time when children that were white and children that were BIPOC, you know, didn't really get to play with each other very much. And then all of a sudden, you guys change some things around, and now you really start to see children gathering at the same spot, whether it's among the amusement parks or all the other things that they can see at the Mall of America. They tend to gather a little bit more than they did 30 years ago. Have you noticed that?
I have, and it really brings a lot of joy to us at Mall of America that we can activate these fun events and bring in a unique mix of tenants for people to enjoy and also bring the attractions forward, because there's always something different that we have going on, and that's truly the secret to our success. And being able to keep it fresh and exciting and for families, and whether you're coming out for a girls trip or a family trip or, you know, just maybe a day date with your spouse, and being able to just come and have fun and to be able to interact with such a diverse audience. And that's really important to us, and we take a lot of pride in it and really celebrate.
You know, there are other, you know, religious events that are happening that people are celebrating as well, right? Whether it's Islam or whether it is the Jewish community. During this time of the year, it's really special. I wish that there was a tree for every one of those. If it's three, if it's the Christians and the Muslims and, you know, the Jews, they got together and put a tree up, you know, in the Mall of America in different locations or just in the rotunda, so that people can really get to see what it's like to have a dreidel, what it's like to see what mm-hmm. that does and what it is hanging on that tree. I would love that. Have you done that before?
I love that. We have done different cultural celebrations, but I like your kind of this mashup or intermingling of the different holidays and festivals that the different cultures celebrate. And actually, it brings up a point that I would love to share is we actually have Festival of Trees. This is the second year that we've had this event, and it's a walkthrough experience where we have over 80 decorated trees from a variety of different brands, everything from the Minnesota Vikings to Paw Patrol with Nickelodeon Universe and Live Nation artists. It's very diverse, and so there's 80 plus trees that you can walk around and enjoy. They're all decorated beautifully. But you also have the chance to, for a selected donation, you can put your name into a drawing to win everything on that tree. And some of them are upwards of $2,000 worth of prizes. But what's
oh,
really
I'm so
great
coming.
Is 100% of the proceeds go to Special Olympics. And last year we generated $50,000, and we're hoping to double that this year. And we're tracking that so far. So I highly encourage anybody that's going out to the mall yet the next couple of weeks before Christmas, definitely check it out. It's on the north side, level 3, right in the food court area. Again, Festival of Trees, and it benefits Special Olympics.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Of course, my last question for you, Jill, and we only have 1 minute left. Security. People are always concerned about going to any of the malls, any place that's really busy. I'm curious to know if you, how do you calm the parents that are there?
I think it's a really important question, and I appreciate you asking it, because we all, it's a different world that we live in right now, and right. I want people to know that Mall of America is safe. We have a direct independent security team that works directly with the Bloomington Police Department, as well as other regional and national resources, and our security team is the best. I feel wonderfully safe there. I bring my children, I bring my extended family, and we have so many different protocols in place, some that you see and some that you don't. But we've definitely taken the change of events that have happened not only in our community but around the world very seriously. And we have a really unique property, and it's important for us to protect it as such. And so I want to ensure people that, you know, come, enjoy the holidays, and know that you're in a safe place at Mall of America.
I'm so glad to hear that. Jill Renslow, Senior Vice President of Business Development and Marketing at the Mall of America. You will see me there. Thank you so much for joining me tonight.
I love it. Welcome back. And we'd love to have you throughout the holiday season, and really wish you the joy and happiness this holiday.
You too. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with my sister Javita Steele to talk about a Christmas show that's coming up. It is now 8:49 here at WCCO. Welcome back. I'm so excited to interview my sister, Javita Steele. Many of you have known her as she has been on Broadway with some of my siblings. And, of course, she has also been nominated for an Oscar. And she is now putting on a great concert that is coming up. And I'm so excited to talk about it. Hey, sis, how are you?
Hey, now, girl, what's going on?
Oh, I'm so excited to talk about the big Christmas show that is coming up on the 18th. That is next Sunday at Park Avenue Church. Tell us more.
Yes, yes. I have the pleasure of being the choral conductor over at Park Avenue United Methodist Church. And part of that responsibility was to put together a holiday concert. And so we are doing it. It's free and open to the public. And then right behind that, I end up at Yellow Tree. I'm doing a play called Misery. And right before that, I'll be doing The Sounds of Gospel. Well, I get a chance to direct this amazing production at a college downtown Minneapolis. So there's a lot going on that I will be talking about and kind of pushing in the next few months.
It is so great, Jovita. The one that's at Park United, it is what Christmas means to me. That is a question all of us should ask. Those of us that believe in Christmas, believe in Jesus, that's a question we should all ask. Tell me why that particular title came to be.
Well, because, you know, Park Avenue is an anomaly. It has such an eclectic group of people as parishioners that we try to cover what Christmas means in many ways. Some people are at the at the precipice of their religious belief, and others really don't see it as a religious holiday. There are others that feel like, yes, I believe in God, and yes, it's the celebration of Christ. We understand that. But it is also a rebirthing of your own personal relationships. It is a celebration at the end of the year and the beginning of the new. The 2023 is coming. And so we have such a diverse age group and eclectic viewpoint on what Christmas means to people, we decided to celebrate all of it. So the concert will be sacred and secular because I asked every choir member, give me a few lines about what Christmas means to you. And you'd be stunned how many responses came back that had nothing to do with Christ or the baby child or anything like that. Some people, it is a terrible time because they're reflecting on all those that have gone on before them. So right. For them, it doesn't feel celebratory at all. And they sit back and reflect on all their family members that they're missing, and they reminisce and they think back on days gone past. And so, considering all of that, we had to approach this concert from a bit of a different perspective. And I think when you come and hear it, you'll hear those voices, and somewhere you'll find yourself in there.
Wow. I'm so excited about it, Jovita. And of course, me being a part of it, I was so happy that I was asked to do a song. And of course, just like the church, Park Avenue, you also have guests that are eclectic. Tell me more about the guests that are going to be on.
Yes. Yes, I have Angel Woods, who is a member of Darnell Davis's group, Remnant, and I have the great Julius Collins, who is performing right now at Yellow Tree. I have you, and of course, my brother J.D. Steele. And then as far as musicians, we've got all kinds. Kenny Holman is on horn. My son Kenyari is on drums. I mean, it's quite a few unique musicians coming in. You know, Yeti is on bass. It's going to be a great, great evening. And we're all under the leadership of Marcel. Lord, forgive me. I can't say his best.
Is it Basambes?
Basambes. I always get tongue-tied. Basambes.
Yes, Basambes. Yeah. And, you know, his leadership, he's been there for, what, 30 years or something?
I think it's more like 25, something like that.
Well, that's close enough. It really is. That's a long time to be there.
There's no doubt
about it. And, of course, excuse me, on December 25th is Christmas Day. They're also having a service at 10 a.m. For those that are family-oriented or if you're in the neighborhood. Even if you're not a member, you can still come and celebrate.
And Christmas Eve, they're going to have an hour-long Christmas caroling at 5 o'clock that night. So if you're not able to come Christmas morning, but you'd like to get your praise on and celebrate with others, like-minded people, come on down on that Saturday, the 24th.
Okay, let's talk about Yellow Tree for a minute, because of course you're doing the show, the play Misery. Now, a whole lot of us have seen that movie. And what was her name?
Kathy
Bates,
girl.
Man. She was terrifying. Yeah, right? And you're in that role. You're in that role.
I just want to know what that feels like.
Oh my gosh.
You know what, Geraldine? I'm so glad. I haven't seen that movie. I've only heard
about
it.
You haven't?
I have never seen that movie. It's been referenced in so many other plays and movies about her breaking this guy's ankles, as a joke or whatever. But I've never seen the movie, and I'm not going to see it until after the play is over, because I want to be as authentic as possible to the role, and I don't even want to think about trying to come close to Kathy Bates. I mean, she is one of my favorite actresses of all time. And so I just figured, nope, Jovita, approach it from your perspective. You're going to be in a new zone as far as working in Yellow Tree for the first time under the leadership of Austin Van. And so I'm going to go in there as fresh as possible, have a good time, try and bring to that role some Javita and some of my imagination.
Right. Well, I'm excited about it. And of course, Park Avenue is located at 3400 Park. Is it Park? Park Avenue, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 3400 Park Avenue in Minneapolis, over South Minneapolis. And Yellow mm-hmm. Tree, of course, is located. Let me see if I can remember this, Javita. At 320 Fifth Avenue Southeast in Osseo, Minnesota. Again, that's 320 Fifth Avenue Southeast. Or you can call them at 763-493-8733. Those tickets are going to go fast when they go on sale. Are they on sale yet?
For Misery, I don't know. Actually, I have not had a chance to do it, but Park Avenue is free of charge. Just bring as much of your family and friends as you like and come have a good time with us. We won't keep you long at all. It's under 90 minutes. We're going to have a great time.
I'm so looking forward to it. And Javita, my final thoughts for tonight is that here we are not doing our Christmas show this season. And mm-hmm. I've had so many phone calls and text messages going, come on. And we want to thank everyone who wrote us and called us and asked us, please do this show. But we just weren't able to do it. It is now 8:36 here at WCCO. Welcome back. And of course, we have another guest. I'm so excited to introduce you to Jill Renslow, Senior VP of Business Development and Marketing at the Mall of America. Welcome, Jill. How are you?
I am doing great. Happy holidays.
Happy holidays. And thank you so much for being on with us tonight. Are you still looking for even more ideas for people that are still shopping? Or is that all done now?
Oh, no, this is the end stretch where everybody's looking for those last minute gift ideas and starting to stress a little bit about the shipping deadline. So this is the best time to go shop brick and mortar and also just take in the sights and sounds of the holidays. I love to hear from people that just love to go to the mall for their tradition of holiday shopping. But not only that, just the music, the decor, and just really taking it all in of the festive time of year.
I am one of those, right? I love to take my grandchildren to the Mall of America during the Christmas season. It's so beautifully decorated, and the people are happy. I don't hear a lot of people bumping into each other and cursing out each other. So I have to tell you, it's a tradition for us now to go. And my son and his partner are coming in town for Christmas this year, and I'm so excited that we're all going to go out to the Mall of America. Tell me, what is the dust, you know, that really seems to fall on people when it comes to the Mall of America. There's just something really special about it.
There is, and like you said, just traditions, and I would love to hear some of the things that you guys love to do and what your traditions are, but, you know, it's everything from visiting Santa to strolling around, and there's so many photo ops this time of year with the beautiful strands of light, the trees and the rotunda, the 7-foot nutcrackers. Like, it's just, it's magical. And people have their traditions year after year. And you even hear from locals that love to just stay in the hotels and be able to stay overnight and do their holiday shopping, grab something to eat, even grab a movie. And it becomes a tradition of this just, you know, escape to really take in the magic of the season.
You know, I've taken my children and my grandchildren now to the Mall of America during the Christmas season. And it really, I remember when New Year's Eve would hit and there was a big event for children and, you know, it would be over by 8 o'clock or something like that. Are you guys considering that for this year?
We are, yes. It's the Moonlight Circus. We've had the circus theme for the last few years, and it's a combination of entertainment in the rotunda as well as the ball drop that's inside Nickelodeon Universe. So it's very family friendly. We have so many families that come year after year. A very affordable and safe option for families to enjoy, especially when it's cold outside, to be able to be somewhere inside where it's warm and safe, and having so many closed hotels, it's a great overnight option as well.
Now, you talked a little bit about Santa. You mentioned that, and I'm just curious to know, how many Santas do you have this year?
Hopefully there's not little ones listening this evening, but, you know, Santa has a lot of helpers, lots of helpers out there. So we have several Santas to be able to accommodate all the families that come in. And so not only can you do the Santa by appointment, or we actually have very diverse Santas, which we absolutely love, so that little ones can really see a Santa that reflects who they are and,
bravo,
and their family.
So, bravo!
Yeah, it's great. We've had an African-American Santa for years. We added an Asian Santa this year. And it's just been great, and families are very positively receptive to it. But we also have the Candy Cane Institute, which is our kind of reinvention of what the Santa experience is all about. And it just kind of came forward right before COVID. And then when COVID hit, we had to shift gears a little bit, but this is the first year we've had it in full force. And it's actually an ELF-run, Santa-approved holiday research lab. So you get a chance to really dive into the meaning of Christmas and just the holiday season. And you get a chance to have this really interactive, fun tour led by MOA elves and then Santa himself. So it's more interactive. It's not like you have to stand in line and just wait to sit on Santa's lap, but it really is immersive and it's fun for the whole family.
It is fun for the whole family. There's so much more to even do when you're visiting each of the floors. There's something a little magical, a little more magical the higher you go up. At least that's what I found. And I'm really just amazed at how many children can't wait to get to the Mall America, and that includes my grands. So as they walk into the store, they get so excited. It used to be a time when children that were white and children that were BIPOC, you know, didn't really get to play with each other very much. And then all of a sudden, you guys change some things around, and now you really start to see children gathering at the same spot, whether it's among the amusement parks or all the other things that they can see at the Mall of America. They tend to gather a little bit more than they did 30 years ago. Have you noticed that?
I have, and it really brings a lot of joy to us at Mall of America that we can activate these fun events and bring in a unique mix of tenants for people to enjoy and also bring the attractions forward, because there's always something different that we have going on, and that's truly the secret to our success. And being able to keep it fresh and exciting and for families, and whether you're coming out for a girls' trip or a family trip or, you know, just maybe a day date with your spouse, and being able to just come and have fun and to be able to interact with such a diverse audience, and that's really important to us, and we take a lot of pride in it and really celebrate.
You know, there are other, you know, religious events that are happening that people are celebrating as well, right? Whether it's Islam or whether it is the Jewish community. During this time of the year, it's really special. I wish that there was a tree for every one of those. If it's three, if it's the Christians and the Muslims and, you know, the Jews, they got together and put a tree up, you know, in the Mall of America in different locations or just in the rotunda, so that people can really get to see what it's like to have a dreidel, what it's like to see what mm-hmm. that does and what it is hanging on that tree. I would love that. Have you done that before?
I love that. We have done different cultural celebrations, but I like your kind of this mashup or intermingling of the different holidays and festivals that the different cultures celebrate. And actually, it brings up a point that I would love to share is we actually have Festival of Trees. This is the second year that we've had this event, and it's a walk-through experience where we have over 80 decorated trees from a variety of different brands, everything from the Minnesota Vikings to Paw Patrol with Nickelodeon Universe and Live Nation artists. It's very diverse, and so there's 80-plus trees that you can walk around and enjoy. They're all decorated beautifully. But you also have the chance to, for a selected donation, you can put your name into a drawing to win everything on that tree. And some of them are upwards of $2,000 worth of prizes. But what's
oh,
really
I'm so
great
coming.
Is 100% of the proceeds go to Special Olympics. And last year we generated $50,000, and we're hoping to double that this year. And we're tracking that so far. So I highly encourage anybody that's going out to the mall yet the next couple of weeks before Christmas, definitely check it out. It's on the north side, level 3, right in the food court area. Again, Festival of Trees, and it benefits Special Olympics.
Wow, that's pretty cool. Of course, my last question for you, Jill, and we only have 1 minute left. Security. People are always concerned about going to any of the malls or any place that's really busy. I'm curious to know if you, how do you calm the parents that are there?
I think it's a really important question, and I appreciate you asking it, because we all, it's a different world that we live in right now, and right. I want people to know that Mall of America is safe. We have a direct independent security team that works directly with the Bloomington Police Department as well as other regional and national resources, and our security team is the best. I feel wonderfully safe there. I bring my children, I bring my extended family, and we have so many different protocols in place, some that you see and some that you don't. But we've definitely taken the change of events that have happened not only in our community but around the world very seriously. And we have a really unique property, and it's important for us to protect it as such. And so I want to ensure people that, you know, come enjoy the holidays and know that you're in a safe place at Mall of America.
I'm so glad to hear that. Jill Renslow, Senior Vice President of Business Development and Marketing at the Mall of America. You will see me there. Thank you so much for joining me tonight.
I love it. Welcome back. And we'd love to have you throughout the holiday season and really wish you the joy and happiness this holiday.
You too. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with my sister Javita Steele to talk about a Christmas show that's coming up. It is now 8:49 here at WCCO. Welcome back. I'm so excited to interview my sister, Javita Steele. Many of you have known her as she has been on Broadway with some of my siblings. And, of course, she has also been nominated for an Oscar. And she is now putting on a great concert that is coming up. And I'm so excited to talk about it. Hey, sis, how are you?
Hey, now, girl, what's going on?
Oh, I'm so excited to talk about the big Christmas show that is coming up on the 18th. That is next Sunday at Park Avenue Church. Tell us more.
Yes, yes. I have the pleasure of being the choral conductor over at Park Avenue United Methodist Church. And part of that responsibility was to put together a holiday concert. And so we are doing it. It's free and open to the public. And then right behind that, I end up at Yellow Tree. I'm doing a play called Misery. And right before that, I'll be doing The Sounds of Gospel. Well, I get a chance to direct this amazing production at a college downtown Minneapolis. So there's a lot going on that I will be talking about and kind of pushing in the next few months.
It is so great, Javita. The one that's at Park United, it is what Christmas means to me. That is a question
yes.
all of us should ask. Those of us that believe in Christmas, believe in Jesus, that's a question we should all ask. Tell me why that particular title came to be.
Well, because, you know, Park Avenue is an anomaly. It has such an eclectic group of people as parishioners that we try to cover what Christmas means in many ways. Some people are at the you know, at the precipice of their religious belief, and others really don't see it as a religious holiday. There are others that feel like, yes, I believe in God, and yes, it's the celebration of Christ. We understand that. But it is also a rebirthing of your own personal relationships. It is a celebration at the end of the year and the beginning of the new. The 2023 is coming. And so we have such a diverse age group and eclectic viewpoint on what Christmas means to people, we decided to celebrate all of it. So the concert will be sacred and secular because I asked every choir member, give me a few lines about what Christmas means to you. And you'd be stunned how many responses came back that had nothing to do with Christ or the baby child or anything like that. Some people, it is a terrible time because they're reflecting on all those that have gone on before them. So
right.
for them, it doesn't feel celebratory at all. And they sit back and reflect on all their family members that they're missing, and they reminisce and they think back on days gone past. And so considering all of that, we had to approach this concert from a bit of a different perspective. And I think when you come and hear it, you'll hear those voices, and somewhere you'll find yourself in there.
Wow. I'm so excited about it, Javita. And of course, me being a part of it, I was so happy that I was asked to do a song. And of course, just like the church, Park Avenue, you also have guests that are eclectic. Tell me more about the guests that are going to be on.
Yes. Yes, I have Angel Woods, who is a member of Darnell Davis's group, Remnant, and I have the great Julius Collins, who is performing right now at Yellow Tree. I have you, and of course, my brother J.D. Steele. And then as far as musicians, we've got all kinds. Kenny Holman is on horn. My son, Kenyari, is on drums. I mean, it's quite a few unique musicians coming in. You know, Yeti is on bass. It's going to be a great, great evening. And we're all under the leadership of Marcel. Lord, forgive me. I can't say his last
name. Is it Basambes?
Basambes. I always get tongue-tied. Basambes.
Yes, Bisombas. Yeah. And, you know, his leadership, he's been there for, what, 30 years or something?
I think it's more like 25, something like that.
Well, that's close enough. It really is. That's a long time to be there.
There's no doubt
about it. And, of course, excuse me, on December 25th is Christmas Day. They're also having a service at 10 a.m. For those that are family-oriented or if you're in the neighborhood. Even if you're not a member, you can still come and celebrate.
And Christmas Eve, they're going to have an hour-long Christmas caroling at 5 o'clock that night. So if you're not able to come Christmas morning, but you'd like to get your praise on and celebrate with others, like-minded people, come on down on that Saturday, the 24th.
Okay, let's talk about Yellow Tree for a minute, because of course you're doing the show, the play Misery. Now, a whole lot of us have seen that movie. And what was her name?
Kathy Bates, man.
She was terrifying. And you're in that role. You're in that role. And I just want to know what that feels like. Oh my gosh.
You know what, Geraldine? I'm so glad. I haven't seen that movie. I've only heard
about
it.
You haven't? Oh,
I have never seen that movie. It's been referenced in so many other plays and movies about her breaking this guy's ankles, as a joke or whatever. But I've never seen the movie, and I'm not going to see it until after the play is over, because I want to be as authentic as possible to the role. And I don't even want to think about trying to come close to Kathy Bates. I mean, she is one of my favorite actresses of all time. And so I just figured, nope, Javita, approach it from your perspective. You're going to be in a new zone as far as working in Yellow Tree for the first time under the leadership of Austin Van. And so I'm going to go in there as fresh as possible, have a good time, try and bring to that role some Javita and some of my imagination.
Right. Well, I'm excited about it. And of course, Park Avenue is located at 3400 Park. Is it Park? Park Avenue, right?
Mm-hmm.
3400 Park Avenue in Minneapolis, over South Minneapolis. And Yellow Tree, of course, is located, let me see if I can remember this, Javita, at 320 Fifth Avenue Southeast in Osseo, Minnesota. Again, that's 320 Fifth Avenue Southeast. Or you can call them at 763-493-8733. Those tickets are going to go fast when they go on sale. Are they on sale yet?
For Misery, I don't know. Actually, I have not had a chance to do it, but Park Avenue is free of charge. Just bring as much of your family and friends as you like and come have a good time with us. We won't keep you long at all. It's under 90 minutes. We're going to have a great time.
I'm so looking forward to it. And Javita, my final thoughts for tonight is that here we are not doing our Christmas show this season. And I've had so many phone calls and text messages going, come on. And we want to thank everyone who wrote us and called us and asked us, please do this show. But we just weren't able to do it this year with all the schedules. And it was so frustrating. But we'll be back in 2023, right?
And we needed the break. We really did. Last year we did a tour, six different cities. Yeah, and everybody this year is trying to say, you're getting ready to graduate with your master's degree. And JD has been writing operas and all kinds of things. And Fred has been busy conducting. And Billy is, oh my God, I can't even think about Billy's schedule. And so, and then there's me. And so it would have been a bit pressing to pull it off this year because we want to do it right when we do it.
So, we always want to do it right. Ain't that the truth? So for those of us, those that are listening, we will be back in 2023. Hopefully.
Well, we'll see. We don't know if it'll be Christmas or Gershwin. We'll see. We'll see what life brings us.
True.
We don't want to bug.
Or maybe we can do both.
Tide.
Can't we
do
both?
Well, oh my. Listen to you. I'm loving you, Geraldine.
Not really.
I'm loving you. Optimism.
I love you,
flowing.
Sis.
I love
you too,
Geraldine.
Thank you so much for coming on. You do not want to miss these three events. And we'll talk more about the one that's happening with the college. I can't wait to hear more about that as well. You take care of yourself, sis.
Yes, I will do.
All right,
Happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays.
Yes.
That is it for us for this hour tonight. Of course, coming up next is Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. We just believe you ought to know about it. We have some great guests joining us. Of course, Mick Sterling, you know and you love him. And that's at 9:08. At 9:20 is going to be Charisse Germain. Can't wait to talk to her. And then, of course, we're going to talk about Holly Dane with Dane Stauffer. He is hilarious. So much time. So much is going on. We'll be back in a moment. It is now 8:49 here at WCCO. Welcome back. I'm so excited to interview my sister, Javita Steele. Many of you have known her as she has been on Broadway with some of my siblings. And, of course, she has also been nominated for an Oscar. And she is now putting on a great concert that is coming up. And I'm so excited to talk about it. Hey, sis, how are you?
Hey, now, girl, what's going on?
Oh, I'm so excited to talk about the big Christmas show that is coming up on the 18th. That is next Sunday at Park Avenue Church. Tell us more.
Yes, yes. I have the pleasure of being the choral conductor over at Park Avenue United Methodist Church. And part of that responsibility was to put together a holiday concert. And so we are doing it. It's free and open to the public. And then right behind that, I end up at Yellow Tree. I'm doing a play called Misery. And right before that, I'll be doing The Sounds of Gospel. Well, I get a chance to direct this amazing production at a college downtown Minneapolis. So there's a lot going on that I will be talking about and kind of pushing in the next few months.
It is so great, Javita. The one that's at Park United, it is what Christmas means to me. That is a question
yes.
all of us should ask. Those of us that believe in Christmas, believe in Jesus, that's a question we should all ask. Tell me why that particular title came to be.
Well, because, you know, Park Avenue is an anomaly. It has such an eclectic group of people as parishioners that we try to cover what Christmas means in many ways. Some people are at the you know, at the precipice of their religious belief, and others really don't see it as a religious holiday. There are others that feel like, yes, I believe in God, and yes, it's the celebration of Christ. We understand that. But it is also a rebirthing of your own personal relationships. It is a celebration at the end of the year and the beginning of the new. The 2023 is coming. And so we have such a diverse age group and eclectic viewpoint on what Christmas means to people, we decided to celebrate all of it. So the concert will be sacred and secular because I asked every choir member, give me a few lines about what Christmas means to you. And you'd be stunned how many responses came back that had nothing to do with Christ or the baby child or anything like that. Some people, it is a terrible time because they're reflecting on all those that have gone on before them. So
right.
for them, it doesn't feel celebratory at all. And they sit back and reflect on all their family members that they're missing, and they reminisce and they think back on days gone past. And so considering all of that, we had to approach this concert from a bit of a different perspective. And I think when you come and hear it, you'll hear those voices and somewhere you'll find yourself in there.
Wow. I'm so excited about it, Javita. And of course, me being a part of it, I was so happy that I was asked to do a song. And of course, just like the church, Park Avenue, you also have guests that are eclectic. Tell me more about the guests that are going to be on.
Yes. Yes, I have Angel Woods, who is a member of Darnell Davis's group, Remnant. And I have the great Julius Collins, who is performing right now at Yellow Tree. I have you and, of course, my brother J.D. Steele. And then as far as musicians, we've got all kinds. Kenny Holman is on horn. My son, Kenyari, is on drums. I mean, it's quite a few unique musicians coming in. You know, Yeti is on bass. It's going to be a great, great evening. And we're all under the leadership of Marcel. Lord, forgive me. I can't say his last
name. Is it Basambes?
Basambes. I always get tongue-tied. Basambes.
Yes, Basambes, yeah. And, you know, his leadership, he's been there for, what, 30 years or something?
I think it's more like 25, something
well,
like that.
Well, that's close enough. It really
yeah,
that's a long time to be there.
Yeah,
There's no doubt about it.
Yeah,
and, of
yeah.
course, excuse me, on December 25th is Christmas Day. They're also having a service at 10 a.m. For those that are family-oriented or if you're in the
mm-hmm.
neighborhood. Even if you're not a member, you can still come and celebrate.
And Christmas Eve, they're going to have an
hour-long
Christmas caroling at 5 o'clock that night. So if you're not able to come Christmas morning, but you'd like to get your praise on and celebrate with others, like-minded people, come on down on that Saturday, the 24th.
Okay, let's talk about Yellow Tree for a minute, because of course you're doing the show, the play Misery. Now, a whole lot of us have seen that movie. And what was her name?
Kathy
Bates, man. She was terrifying. And you're in that role. You're in that role. And I just want to know what that feels like. Oh my gosh.
You know what, Geraldine? I'm so glad I haven't seen that movie. I've only heard
about
it.
You haven't? Oh,
I have never seen that movie. It's been referenced in so many other plays and movies about her breaking this guy's ankles, you know, as a joke or whatever. But I've never seen the movie, and I'm not going to see it until after the play is over, because I want to be as authentic as possible to the role. And I don't even want to think about trying to come close to Kathy Bates. I mean, she is one of my favorite actresses of all time. And so I just figured, nope, Jovita, approach it from your perspective. You're going to be in a new zone as far as working in Yellow Tree for the first time under the leadership of Austin Van. And so I'm going to go in there as fresh as possible, have a good time, try and bring to that role some Jovita and some of my imagination.
Right. Well, I'm excited about it. And of course, Park Avenue is located at 3400 Park. Is it Park? Park Avenue, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 3400 Park Avenue in Minneapolis, over South Minneapolis. And Yellow Tree, of course, is located, let me see if I can remember this, Jovita, at 320 Fifth Avenue Southeast in Osseo, Minnesota. Again, that's 320 Fifth Avenue Southeast. Or you can call them at 763-493-8733. Those tickets are going to go fast when they go on sale. Are they on sale yet?
For Misery, I don't know. Actually, I have not had a chance to do it, but Park Avenue is free of charge. Just bring as much of your family and friends as you like and come have a good time with us. We won't keep you long at all. It's under 90 minutes. We're going to have a great time.
I'm so looking forward to it. And Jovita, my final thoughts for tonight is that here we are not doing our Christmas show this season. And I've had so many phone calls and text messages going, come on. And we want to thank everyone who wrote us and called us and asked us, please do this show. But we just weren't able to do it this year with all the schedules. And it was so frustrating. But we'll be back in 2023, right?
And we needed the break. We really did. Last year we did a tour, six cities.
Yep, six different cities.
Yeah, and everybody this year is trying to figure, you're getting ready to graduate with your master's degree, and JD has been writing operas and all kinds of things, and Fred has been busy conducting, and Billy is, oh my God, I can't even think about Billy's schedule. And so, and then there's me, and so it would have been a bit pressing to pull it off this year, because we want to do it right when we do it.
So, we always want to do it right. Ain't that the truth? So for those of us, those that are listening, we will be back in 2023. Hopefully.
Well, we'll see. We don't know if it'll be Christmas or Gershwin. We'll see. We'll see what life brings us. We don't want to bug.
Or maybe we can do both. Can't we do both?
Well, oh my. Listen to you. I'm loving you, Geraldine.
Not really.
I'm loving you. Optimism.
I love you,
sis. I love
you,
Geraldine.
Thank you so much for coming on. You do not want to miss these three events, and we'll talk more about the one that's happening with the college. I can't wait to hear more about that as well. You take care of yourself, sis.
Yes, I will do.
All right,
happy holidays, everybody.
Happy holidays.
Yes.
That is it for us for this hour tonight. Of course, coming up next is Center Stage, all things arts and entertainment. We just believe you ought to know about it. We have some great guests joining us. Of course, Mick Sterling, you know and you love him. And that's at 9:08. At 9:20, it's going to be Charisse Germain. Can't wait to talk to her. And then, of course, we're going to talk about Holly Dane with Dane Stauffer. He is hilarious. So much time. So much is going on. We'll be back in a moment.